Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, and this is episode 10 of the Mojo for Running podcast. Today we'll discuss the impact of running on your life, my life, or anyone's life. Every day I spend 15 or 20 minutes on Twitter interacting with runners of all levels from all over the world, and some of my favorite conversations are with new runners. I like to congratulate them on making the very wise decision to take up running. I tell them that if they aren't hooked yet, they soon will be, and that bodes well for the rest of their lives. They usually report that they're already hooked. Of course, at that point in their running career, they can't possibly appreciate the wisdom of their decision to start running. But one day they will, and that makes me genuinely happy for them. Statistically, more people take up running every year, and in this age of obesity and related healthcare problems, that's at least a sliver of good news. Some people, though, actually many people, won't even consider running. They think it will be too hard on their bodies, or at least that's their rationalization. I guess it keeps them from feeling guilty if they can come up with some explanation for some reason why they shouldn't run. It's commonly thought, at least among non-runners, that running takes a serious toll on your body and ruins your knees. That's just not true. Sometimes people, non-runners, ask me about my knees, the suggestion being that they must be bad. When they find out I've been running for over 30 years and that I run at least 5 days a week, they're certain of it. I'm always happy to explain that I have no knee pain. I've never had any pain in my knees except when I did something else that caused it. Once, I tried swimming laps with fins. Someone had told me that it was good for increasing flexibility in the ankles, a stiff area for me, so I thought I'd try it. Well, I never got to find out if it would help, because after I tried swimming with fins for just a few laps, the next time I ran, there was an uncomfortable feeling in my knees, accompanied by a distinct clicking in my knee joint with every step. I don't understand what happened, but a few days later, the clicking stopped. I never tried the fins again. Now, that doesn't mean swimming with fins is bad. I think it's probably really good. It's just that my knees didn't like it, so I stopped doing it. The point is that running has not ruined my knees. On the contrary, since I run year-round with no knee pain, I'd say that running has been good for my knees. And that's an important topic for me because my mom had to have both knee joints replaced due to arthritis. No, running is more likely to help your knees than ruin them. But the life-changing benefits of running go far, far beyond healthier knees. Dr. James Fries conducted a study at Stanford University over a 20-year period beginning in 1984. His team followed 500 runners over the age of 50 and compared them to a group of non-runners. The results of their research should be more than enough motivation for non-runners to become runners, and for any runner to continue running and make it a lifelong habit. When Dr. Fries and his colleagues began their study, running was just becoming popular. At the time, I think we would all have called it a fad. Thank goodness it turned out to be much more than that. Anyway, back then the common perception was that exercise might actually be harmful for older adults. Fries questioned that idea, hypothesizing that exercise would not only extend life, but also, and equally important, postpone disability and improve the quality of life as the runners aged. The study confirmed his hypothesis, but the results were even more encouraging than he had expected. At the start of the study, the average per week running time for the running group was 4 hours, and that declined to just 76 minutes per week by the end of the study. However, the health benefits of running were still continuing at the end of the 20-year period. The runners lived longer, too. After 19 years, death records revealed that 34% of the non-runners had died, while only 15% of the runners had died. And I quote, "Elderly runners have fewer disabilities, a longer span of active life, and are half as likely as aging non-runners to die early deaths, the research found. Close quote. Running did not increase the rate of osteoarthritis or total knee replacements either. So there you have it. Runners live longer and enjoy a better quality of life into their 8th and even 9th decade of life. That is great news. There's much more in the article, so you'll probably want to read the whole thing. It's titled, Running Slows the Aging Clock, Stanford Researcher Finds. And if you go to my website on the podcast page, go to episode or podcast number 10, and you'll find all the information there so you can go directly to the article and read the whole thing. In fact, you might want to read it every time your motivation wanes. And if you're over 50, I suggest cutting it out and posting it on your refrigerator. One of my good friends, Emery, at age 84, is training hard in hopes of qualifying for the 2011 Boston Marathon. He started running in his 40s, and now he has so many awards that he has a separate room in his house to display them all. Another of my running mates, Frank, is 73. He's a personal trainer at the YMCA. He spends the better part of every day training people from their 20s to their 80s and inspiring them all by his example. He taught me a few new core exercises the other day. I found them pretty tough, but he did them without even straining. My good friend Velma ran the New York City Marathon on her 70th birthday. This year, she'll be running it again to commemorate her 73rd year. Lots of people have birthday traditions. Some go out to dinner. Velma runs the New York City Marathon. There was never a greater lover of life, and she doesn't plan on slowing down anytime soon. She doesn't have time to slow down. I have many runner friends in their 70s and 80s, and all are very healthy. None look their age, and certainly none of them act their age. At least, none of them act the stereotype for their age. I guess you could say they're redefining the whole aging thing. They could all pass for decades younger. The difference between these 70 and 80-somethings and their non-running counterparts is nothing short of amazing. Next time you look at race results, scroll on down to the older age groups, the masters runners and grandmasters runners. You'll be shocked at two things. One, that there are as many as there are, depending on the size of the race, of course. And two, you'll be surprised at their times. If you look at the times of the people between, well, from 60 on up, and compare that to the times of the people from 40 on down, you'll be amazed at how many of the people in the older age groups actually have faster times than people in their 20s and 30s. As for myself, I'm 56, and I can honestly say that I feel almost as good as I did in my 20s. The only way that I've had to compromise my activity is that now I have to wear glasses to read. That's a pain in the neck because I now have to wear a contact in one eye in order to read my Garmin while I'm running. But I'm not really complaining because other than that, I can't think of a single thing I can't do that I did then. Life is actually better now. Why? Because I now have the wisdom to appreciate my good fitness. I took it for granted back then. So in addition to all the other benefits, running will probably help you live longer and enjoy a better quality of life for the rest of your life. I'd be running anyway, so for me, that's just the icing on the cake. That's all for this podcast. I invite you to visit my website, mojoforrunning.com, and join the Mojo community. If you have a story to tell, please send it along via the contact form on that site. I recently started a Mojo community blog, and I'd love to share your story. Now here's today's quote. Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. Jim Ryan.